Morning, everybody. Great to see you and glad you're here. Especially if you're a guest, thanks for coming and trust you'll be blessed or have been blessed already. And we'll be blessed as we take a look at God's Word in just a moment. I want to say congratulations to the Dolans for their marriage of Christine and Neil Taylor. What a blessing that was. I just do have a question. Did anybody stay at the reception last night long enough to do the chicken dance? Anybody? Really? Okay, good. Good for you guys. What a great time. What a great celebration. What a joyous occasion for Owen and Ann and for their families. What a special moment that was for them. Last week, if you were here, you heard me talk about being able to forgive other people. And if you remember, I talked about is it the formula that Peter asked about, the 70 times 7, 490, and man, when you get that 491, you pop somebody. Is that how that works? Well, of course, we know that that's not the way it goes, right? It was unlimited forgiveness. Well, here's the thing. After church last Sunday, I had a couple of people come to me and say, you know, that's all well and good. Forgiving other people, I can do that. No problem. I do it all the time. I forgive people all the time. But I have a real question for you. I'm like, okay. And they said, how do I forgive myself? Wow. What a great question. What a great question. And I was so intrigued by that. I said, you know what? Whatever I was going to do today, I scrapped it and we're doing this one. We're going to answer that question. That's what we're going to try and do today. That very thing. You know, there's some really, really crazy stories, life stories out there about people who live life on a daily basis and struggle with guilt. Maybe some of us do. Maybe there's people right here in this room this morning that struggle with daily guilt over what's happened in your past. And you've asked that question a million times. How do I ever forgive myself? How do I get there? Well, listen to this story. One lady said, I left my husband and kids 18 years ago when they were teenagers, right when life was probably the hardest for them. I left. Those kids struggled then and still do today. I often feel bad and really grieve every day over what could have and should have been. I wish I could go back and redo those years. I don't know how I would have gotten through any better, but I'd stay. I pray continually that God would heal them and me. There's another story. It says, I did it. I was driving the car. I shouldn't have been, but I was. Now two of my friends are dead. One will never walk again. And one will spend months and months in a hospital. I have to look in the eyes of my friends' families. I have to look in the eyes of my own family. I have to look in the eyes of my other friends. And I see the pain. I see the hurt that I caused because of my own stupidity. Now what do I do? How can I ever get past that? I've said I'm sorry. I've prayed and prayed and prayed that God would forgive me. But I can't get it out of my mind. How can I let go? How can I forgive me? Another one wrote this anonymous letter. I found out that I was pregnant. I was 18 years old. I was 2 months away from attending college. My boyfriend and I knew that we weren't ready to be parents. And we chose abortion because we didn't want to face our family and our friends. We took the easy way out. After my abortion, I had mental heartaches. I shed tears. I regretted the decision that I'd made. And I still do. Every day, I ask God for forgiveness because I know that I was so wrong. I struggle a lot, wondering if God will ever give me a second chance. He's such a loving God, and I believe with all my heart that He is God, and yet I still carry a conscience full of guilt. Does God forgive me? And those are just three simple stories from real life. People struggling with real guilt and real pain and real heartache and wondering, how do I forgive myself? That is the big question for today. How do we do that? How do we get past that pain? How do we ever forgive ourselves? And then there are the stories. There are the stories from Scripture, stories out of the Bible that we read, and you know, I've read them 100 times. Who knows how many? 1,000 times, maybe. I don't know. I've read these stories, and sometimes I wonder, how in the world did they ever get past the messes that they left in their lives? You read these stories and they just make you shake your head. Like the story of the woman at the well. Jesus confronts this woman who's at the well. He's just asking her for a drink. And then he says to go and call her husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he said, oh, you're right. You've got 5. You've been with 5 men. So just bring them all. And she goes and she does. And yet I think in some of those moments afterwards, after she left that moment with Jesus, that encounter with Him, I wonder if she thought to herself, how do I forgive myself for the mess that I've made in my past? And then the woman, you remember this story in John chapter 8, the story of the woman who is caught in the very act of adultery? You remember that? She's brought before Jesus. He forgives her. But do you think that there might have been... You think that there might have been some remnants of guilt as she left that place of grace and went on to live life? And then, of course, David and Bathsheba. What a mess. You know, he commits sin with Bathsheba. She's pregnant. David is so guilty about that he calls Uriah in off the front of the battles and sets him up. He doesn't fall for it. He doesn't take the bait. And so David says, I'll take this under my own. I'll take care of this. Send him back into battle. Sets him up so that he's killed on the battlefield. The child from their sin dies. Hey, David, how did he ever get past that mess? I mean, how do you ever get past that stuff that he made of his own life as well as Bathsheba's life. And then the story of the prodigal son. You know, he goes to his dad and says, "Hey, look, I want the money now." And he takes the money and he runs and he blows it. He makes a total wreck of his life. He comes back home and he's welcomed like he's never missed a day. How do you live with that? How do you live with that? Especially when the rest of your family is struggling to see you home after you took so advantage of the situation you're in and messed it up. And then Paul. I mean, the guy that we call the apostle, the hero of the New Testament. Right? The writer of what? 13 books in the New Testament, letters in the New Testament. I mean, the hero, right? Oh, but do you know his background? He was a cold-blooded killer of Christians. He would as soon kill them as look at them. Persecutor of the church. And then he meets Jesus. He's forgiven. He's a disciple. But you think he ever said to himself, "How do I get rid of that mess? How do I quit thinking about that? All that stuff in my background." Oh, and then there's Peter. Grab your bulletins, by the way. Because we're going to read Peter's story. It's really in two parts, one in Mark's Gospel and one in Matthew's Gospel. By the way, you may want to grab a pen or a pencil or something, because I want to share some verses with you later on that you might want to write down and just have handy, because you might want to think about going back and listening to this another time. But Mark chapter 14, listen to this first part of the story. On the way, Jesus, on their way back to Jerusalem, on the way, Jesus told them, "All of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Hear those words. Even if everybody else deserts you, I'm not going to go there. I won't do that. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. And then we get to the rest of the story. Matthew 26. Listen to these words. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You are one of those with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. Again, that haunting question, how do we forgive ourselves? How do we forgive ourselves? I don't know about you, but I can tell you that in my lifetime, I have done some things that I absolutely regret. My best guess this morning is I'm not alone. My best guess is that there are some of us who are here that have done some things in our past that we regret. And sometimes we've done all that we can to go back and correct the mistakes, fix the situations as best we possibly can, fix those messes that we've made. And sometimes we live lifelong with lifelong regret over what's in our past. Maybe you're here this morning and it's a very real struggle for you. Maybe you're thinking about stuff in your past. You're like, yeah, I don't know how I live with this stuff. Some of you told me that last week that that's where you were. Sometimes our conversation with ourselves goes like this, something like this. I can't believe you did that. What were you thinking? You're just an idiot. You ever had those conversations with yourself? Sometimes the moments of self-accusations flood into our minds, and it can be absolutely crippling. Some of the harshest words that we might ever hear are those words when we say, I will never be able to forgive myself. What do we do with that? Can we forgive ourselves? Should we forgive ourselves? You know, therapists, and maybe even some of our friends think so. They might say things like, don't be so hard on yourself. You ever had somebody say that to you? Oh, don't be so hard on yourself. Come on. We all do that. Or they might say, give yourself permission to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And forgive yourself when you do. Well, listen, is that it? Is that how we get past it? Is that all there is to forgiving ourselves? Psychologists tell us that we have to forgive ourselves for whatever wrongs that we think we might have done in our past. We have to get past those things, and we have to put on the bright, happy face for everyone to see. We have to tell ourselves, it's okay for us to move on. Well then, let's do. Let's move on. But let's not do it because our friends say it's okay. Let's not do it because a psychologist tells us it's okay. Let's do it God's way. If it's going to be done right, if we're going to do it in a way that it fixes it, completes it, let's do it God's way. I'm absolutely certain that it's the best way. Listen, moving on means that we have to remember two things. And this is stuff you can write down. You ready? God is a big God. God is a big God. Second thing, God's amazing grace is a big deal. Now listen to these words from Psalm 103. You want to write down a passage that you'll want to go back and read again. Psalm 103. Go back and read this later today, tomorrow, the next day. Any time that you feel guilty about where you've been, what things are going on in your life, read Psalm 103, the first 14 verses. Listen to these words. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that He does for me. Now listen to this. This is in verse 3. All right? He forgives all of my sins. Say all with me. All. Did we say some? No. All of my sins. He forgives all of my sins. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. That's good news, church. Come on, you can say amen if you want to. You don't have to sit here and be quiet. We're in the church. We'll be cheering for God. This is good stuff. Oh, okay, now listen. Verse 5. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. Now listen, this begins at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Compassionate and merciful. Slow to get angry. And filled with unfailing love. You want some more good news? Listen. He will not constantly accuse us. Aren't you glad? Oh, wait, more. Nor remain angry forever. Oh, this is the best part. This is verse 10. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. You see, we deserve it. We deserve to be judged harshly. We made a mess of things. But because He is kind, because He is merciful, because He is compassionate, He doesn't do that. Verse 11. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are, and He remembers that we are only dust. Wow! That's that big theological term that I love using, and I'm going to use it there. Wow! Two things. Let's go back and visit them again. Remember that God is a big God. He's a big God. He is a God. He is not a God. He is the God of mercy and compassion. Kindness and grace. Verse 8, verse 10, verse 13 in Psalm 103. He's a God of love. Verse 4 and verse 11. He is the God who knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. All of the good, all of the bad, all of the ugly. And you know what? He still loves us. He is the God who restores us. Listen to what Ezekiel said. This is in the Old Testament. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Say the word clean with me. Clean. Now listen. It doesn't say He might do that. Did you catch that? It doesn't say, He didn't say, oh, I might sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. No, I will. That means it's a decisive act. Okay? He says, now listen to this. I will cleanse you from all, not part again, all, say all with me, all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove all of the heart of stone from your flesh. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. We serve a big God. Second thing, remember that God's amazing grace is a big deal. It's a big deal. Listen, that Psalm 103 says that He is a God of total forgiveness. Not partial, total forgiveness. Verse 3 and verse 12. In the New Testament, listen to what John wrote. 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's that word again. If we will confess our sin, if we will confess the mess, He is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is the God of recreation. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Oh, what? Really? Oh, wait, let me say it again. Because I don't think you heard me that time. I didn't hear anything. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Amen. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. Oh, you want some more good news? Oh, listen. This is really good stuff, y'all. God is a God who provides for you and for me absolute freedom. Absolute freedom. Listen. John chapter 8 verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free.
Free. Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said, oh, and by the way, gosh, if anybody knew this was true, it was Paul, right? I mean, you talk about a dude that had a messy life. This guy was a mess, but when Jesus struck him down on the road to Damascus, and then he went into Damascus, and Ananias came and led him to Jesus. I mean, listen, what I want to say to you is all that junk that was in his past, gone. Like that. Like that. Gone. He was free. Set free. We are free. We are, he says this. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wait, church, did you not hear that? Wow. Galatians chapter 5, similar words. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Praise be to God. We are free from all that junk in our past. You know what one of the coolest feelings in the world is? When you've paid your last car payment or student loan payment or house payment, when you've made that final payment and you know, whew, I'm free. You know that feeling, right? You know what would make us flip out? You know, this is what would make us flip out. Maybe it won't make you, it would make me flip out. If about 2 months after I paid off my last payment, the bank would send me a notice and say, hey, by the way, you still owe this amount of money. I'd flip. I'd be on the phone. I'm like, what are you thinking? You got to be kidding me. And you know, we'd get pretty excited about that, right? If we knew that we'd paid it off and then suddenly we're trying to, the only way they want more, right? Do we not do that with Jesus? He's paid the debt. Completely. He paid it off for us. Completely. He set us free from the past. Jesus did it once and for all. He did it for the woman at the well. He did it for the woman caught in adultery. He did it for David and Bathsheba. He did it for the prodigal son. He did it for Paul. He did it for Peter. And He's done it for you and me. When Jesus was on the cross, the last words that He said was, "It is finished." And basically those words, basically they mean this: paid in full. Paid in full. Our big God pours out His endless, amazing grace into our lives, and He's paid our debt in full. Oh, listen. The scripture says that He has taken our sin. That Psalm 103 says He's taken our sin. This is the cool part. Listen to this. He's taken our sin and He's thrown it as far as the east is from the west. Never will it meet again. Listen, I want to say this to you. Sometimes we feel guilty about junk, right? I want to tell you this right now. When you feel guilty, when you feel bad about your past, that is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Don't buy it. What you need to say when that feeling comes is, "Jesus set me free. I am free. I am free indeed. Because all of what Jesus did for me, it's paid in full." You know what we need to do? We need to do, here's what we can all do. We can take those three little words made famous by the movie Frozen and let it go. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.